नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। कष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीर्वुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामय्यं तदाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So we'll begin the chapter 18 of Madhya Leela. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit to Sri Vrindavan Dham. So last two chapters, 16 chapter described Mahaprabhu's attempt to go to Vrindavan, and 17 chapter described Mahaprabhu's travels to Vrindavan, 17 and 18. Vrindavane sthiracharan nandayan svavalokanai आत्मानं च तद् आलोकात् गौरांगः परितो ब्रह्मत्।
Much personal pleasure in seeing everyone. In this way, Lord Gauranga travelled in Vrindavan.
जय जय गौरचंद्र जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद।
ऑल ग्लोरीज टू लॉर्ड गौर चंद्र ऑल ग्लोरीज टू नित्यानंद प्रभु ऑल ग्लोरीज टू अद्वैत प्रभु And all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, headed by Srivas Thakur.
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrives at Arishtagram, or it's also called as Aritagram. So Arishtagram is a place where Arishtasur was killed by Krishna. That pastime of Radhakund, after Krishna killed Arishtasur, then the gopis told Krishna that you must perform an atonement for the sin of killing a bull. And then the pastime of Radhakund, Shyamkund, how they were actually formed. So when Mahaprabhu arrived at Arishtagram, so Mahaprabhu was actually searching for Radhakund. But the Brahmana was accompanying him. The Brahmana was the Sanodiya Brahmana. The Sanodiya Brahmana did not know the whereabouts of Radhakund. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his transcendental vision, he went to a paddy field and he saw some two small two small reservoirs of water, small actually. Then Mahaprabhu could understand these are actually Radhakund and Shyamkund, and Mahaprabhu took bath there. So that is actually described in the next few verses. Prabhupada has written in the purport. So none of the villages, they could actually know where Radhakund and Shyamkund, and Mahaprabhu took a bath there and then offered prayers. Sixth verse. Deki sabha gramya lokera vismaya hailamana preme prabhu kare radha kundera stavana.
When the people of the village saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking his bath in those two ponds in the middle of the paddy fields, they were very much astonished. The Lord then offered his prayers to Sri Radha Kund.
Sabha gopi haite Radha Krishnera prayasi taiche Radha Kunda priya priya rasarasi.
Gopis, Radharani is the dearmost. Similarly, the lake known as Radhakund is very dear to Lord because it is very dear to Srimati Radharani.
The next verse is a verse from Padma Puran, which describes about the position of Srimati Radharani and Radhakund. We'll recite together. Yata Radha Priyo Vishnu Tasya Kundam Priyam Tata Sarva Gopishu Saivaika Vishnur Atyanta Vallabha.
Just as Srimati Radharani is most dear to Lord Krishna, so her lake known as Radhakund is also very dear to him. Of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most beloved.
So basically in that lake, Krishna and Srimati Radharani used to perform the rasa dance on the bank of Radhakund. And it's described that if a person bathes in Radhakund even once, Krishna gives that person ecstatic love like that of Srimati Radharani. So 11th verse. Kundera Madhuriyena Radhara Madhurima Kundera Mahima Yena Radhara Mahima.
Traction of Radhakund is as sweet as that of Srimati Radharani. Similarly, the glories of the Kund lake are as great as Srimati Radharani's.
So now there is a verse from Govinda Lilamrita which describes the glories of Radhakund. Shri Radheva Hare Stadiya Sarasi Preshtad Bhutai Swair Gunai. Yasyam Shri Yuta Madhavendura Nisham प्रीत्यातया क्रीडति प्रेमास्मिन् बतरादि केवलबते यस्यां सकृत् स्नानकृत् तस्या वै महिमा तथा मधुरिमा केनास्तु वर्ण्यक्षितौ
of its wonderful transcendental qualities. Radhakund is as dear to Krishna as Srimati Radharani. It was in that lake that all opulent Lord Sri Krishna performed his pastimes with Srimati Radharani with great pleasure and transcendental bliss. Whoever bathes just once in Radhakund attains Srimati Radharani's loving attraction for Sri Krishna, who within this world can describe the glories and sweetness of Sri Radhakund.
So Mahaprabhu in this way offered prayers at Radhakund and he danced on the banks of Radhakund and he also removed some mud from the banks of Radhakund and applied tilak, the 12 parts of his body. And he also collected, he kept some portion of that Radhakund mud along with him to apply tilak in the future. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Sumanasa Lake. Is it... same as Manas Sarovar or Kusum Sarovar, okay. Yeah, it's possible. Sumanasa Lake from Radhakund, after that, I think when you go ahead, Kusum Sarovar comes. So then you went to Kusum Sarovar and took bath there, because that is the place I think first time we get darshan of. From there he first took darshan of Govardhan Hill. And then when he saw Govardhan Hill, so he immediately offered obeisances, offered a full Dandavat Pranam obeisances to Govardhan Hill, and he became mad. Then when he proceeded ahead, he came to the temple of Haridev. 17th verse. Preme Matta Chali Aila Govardhan Grama. Hari Deva Deki Taha Haila Pranama.
And with ecstatic love, the Lord came to the village known as Govardhan. There he saw the deity named Haridev and offered his obeisances unto him.
So he danced in front of the Haridev deity. So you remember the Haridev temple? How many of you visited? Just on the Govardhan Parikrama, just little, I have to go on the left side. That big temple is there. Haridev's deity is actually established by Vajranab. It's one of the very ancient temples, very important temples. The gopis also came and actually prayed in front of Haridev. So Haridev is an incarnation of Narayan and his residence is on the western petal of the lotus of Mathura. So Mahaprabhu danced before Haridev and people came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they were completely astonished by seeing his beauty and ecstatic love. Then after Haridev temple, Mahaprabhu took bath in Brahmakund. Not remembering which place is it. Brahmakund. Does anybody remember? Apsara Kund, Naval Kund. Okay. Achha, it's in Govardhan only? In Vrindavan, na? Near the Govindji temple, that Brahmakund. But see, here it's mentioned. And he took bath in Brahmakund. And in Brahmakund, Balabhadra Bhattacharya cooked lunch for him. Mahaprabhu also took prasadam there. And then on that day night, Mahaprabhu stayed at Haridev temple. And in the night, he was actually thinking, Mahaprabhu developed a desire to take darshan of Gopal Roy, Gopalji. But the presently the Gopalji is in Nathdwara. And but that time actually Gopalji's temple was there in the top of the Govardhan hill. So it is a beautiful small pastime. And Mahaprabhu was having a desire to take darshan of Gopal Rai. So it is described, 24th verse.
Eta mane kari prabhu mauna kari rahila. Janiya gopala kichu bangi utaila.
In this way, the Lord remained silent, and Lord Gopal, knowing his contemplation, played a trick.
Anarurukshave shailam swasmai bhaktabhimanine avaruhyagire krishno gaurayasvamadarshayat.
From Govardhan Hill, Lord Gopal granted an interview to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was unwilling to climb the hill, thinking himself a devotee of Lord Krishna.
So in one class, Istulnath Radhanath Swami Maharaj explained, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of love for Gopal, he did not want to go and take darshan of Gopal. Because for that he would have to climb on the Govardhan Hill. So he said, this is the mysterious nature of love, that out of love for Gopal, he did not want to go and take darshan of Gopal. Just like the Sanodiya Brahmana, out of love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not want to cook for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would eat his prasadam, he felt that many people would actually criticize the character of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that he cannot tolerate. Or Bali Maharaj, out of love for Vamana Dev, he did not want to offer obeisances in front of everyone. Or he did not want to, out of love for Vamana Dev, he did not want to disclose the real reason for why he wanted to give charity. Prabhupada writes in purport in the 8th canto, Bali Maharaj's real reason was to actually, he wanted to give charity just to please Vamanade. But he did not disclose, when he was telling to Shukracharya, he did not tell this as the real reason. He mentioned so many other reasons as why he wanted to give charity. So here we see that Mahaprabhu, out of love for Gopal, he did not want to step on Govardhan Hill. So in one Vrindavan Yatra, Maharaj explained that, so therefore all the devotees following the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should not step on Govardhan Hill. And then he said that, so he was addressing a Yatra, like some 3,000, 4,000 people were there. But then he said, but for the devotees of other sampradaya, it is completely all right if they climb on Govardhan Hill. But we being followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we should not climb on Govardhan Hill because Mahaprabhu never climbed on Govardhan Hill. So there were some devotees from other sampradaya, they were present. Just to make him comfortable, Maharaj mentioned that, yeah, for the devotees of other sampradaya, it is all right, but for we being followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we should not climb. So this is an example of Yetamam Prapadyante. So Mahaprabhu had an inner desire to actually take darshan of Gopal, and Gopal reciprocated with the Mahaprabhu's desire, and he played a trick in order to come and give his darshan to Mahaprabhu. So it is described that Gopal stayed in a village called as Annakuta Gram, or also called as Aniyur. And because like in many of these verses, Prabhupada quotes some verses from Bhakti Ratnakar and maybe some other scriptures which describe about the specific holy places. So Prabhupada gives three quotations, one from Bhakti Ratnakar, another from Stavavali of the Raghunath Das Goswami. He describes about this Annakuta Gram or Aniyur.
So one is described that there was actually a rumor. One person came and told the villagers that some Turkish soldiers are actually preparing to attack your village. And then on that day night, the villagers took the deity, fearing that the Muslim soldiers will come tomorrow. Then all the villagers became very angry as they took Gopal and moved him to a village known as Gantuli Gram. So in Gantuli Gram, Gopalji deity was kept in the house of a Brahmana, and the worship was going on there. And because of the fear of the Muslims, the deity was being transferred from one village to another village. Kaviraj Goswami says that sometimes Gopalji would live in a bush and sometimes in one village after another. So Mahaprabhu, in the morning he took bath in the Manas Ganga, and then he circumambulated the Govardhan Hill. So 33rd verse. Govardhana Deki Prabhu Prema Vishtahana Nachite Nachite Chalila Shloka Padiya.
By seeing Govardhan Hill, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became ecstatic with love of Krishna. While dancing, he recited the following verse.
So this is a beautiful verse from the Venugeet, in which the gopi is actually glorifying the Govardhan Hill. We'll recite together. Hantaya Madrirabala Haridasa Variyo Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparsha Pramoda Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayostayoryat Paniya Suyavasakandara Kandamulai.
Of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. Oh my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balram as well as their calves, cows and cowherd friends with all kinds of necessities. Water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respect to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant.
So especially, two devotees are glorified as Haridasa Variya. One is Govardhan Hill, and the other, who is the other devotee? Three devotees, Yudhishthira Maharaj and Uddhava. Yeah. All these three devotees are described as Haridasa Variya. So especially Govardhan is described as Haridasa Variya. Again, in a Vrindavan Yatra class, Sulnath Radhana Swami Maharaj explained that, especially because Govardhan not only served Krishna, but Govardhan also served all the other devotees of Krishna. Govardhan served the devotees, the gopis, the gopas, the cows, the calves, all the other devotees of Krishna. And he explained that what it actually means to serve the devotees. Serving the devotees means facilitating them in their service to Krishna. Facilitating them or helping them, serving the devotees in such a way so that we can help them in their service to Krishna. So he said that the cows, actually their service to Krishna is that they want to give the best of the milk. So Govardhan would give the best of the grasses, and Govardhan would supply the nectar like water, so that the cows, by drinking that water and actually by chewing those grasses, the cows will be able to supply the best of milk in the service of Krishna. So in that way, the Govardhan served the cows. He would actually give a nice resting place for the gopas and the gopis, so that they can actually have nice pastimes with Krishna. And this is something he explained there. You had some point?
The previous verse came that Haridev, presiding deity of Govardhan is Haridev. So is it because of that Haridas?
Haridas. No, Govardhan is definitely Haridasa, because he's serving Krishna, but he's Krishna, but he's actually serving Krishna, but he's called as Haridasa Varya because he not only served Krishna, but he also served all the other actually devotees of Krishna. That's what I heard. Yudhishthira Maharaj and Uddhava. I'm not remembering the references for that, but I remember hearing.
That Bhagavatam, when this verse comes, so Jiva Goswami read in that commentary.
That purport it is there?
Yeah, for the commentary.
Oh, okay.
I have one small question, Prabhu.
Huh.
I was hearing you speak a few minutes ago. You were saying about Madhavendrapuri had a Annakut festival on the top of Govardhan, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to climb up because he considered Govardhan as Krishna himself. His devotee also and Krishna also.
Hmm.
So he didn't want to put his foot on the top. Hmm. You were telling about how Gopal made a trick to come down to give him darshan. So I had a question that in the same sampradaya, sometimes two different acharyas are exhibiting opposite modes. Madhavendrapuri is climbing on the top and conducting Annakut festival. Mahaprabhu refuses to climb on the top.
Is it Madhavendrapuri conducted on the top of the Govardhan?
Yeah, there was a temple established also for for Gopal. And similarly, I heard a story of our Babaji, not Gaurav's Babaji, our Jagannath Das Babaji. Somebody gave him a coin which he took. He was, you know, sitting in the basket. And he went pretty long distance. After 2-3 kilometers, suddenly something occurred in his mind. He told Bihari, his servant, you take a turn and go back. And then he went to the donor and he gave it back to him. The donor asked, why you're giving back to me? He said, I don't think I will be able to use it at the moment. So I don't want to unnecessarily accumulate. So he gave it back and went. So in that book, when I read, the lesson that was said was, one should not unnecessarily accumulate wealth. That will become a burden for us. So, and also Jagannath Das Babaji felt that for renunciates, it's not good to gather wealth and all that. So now Srila Prabhupada shows just the opposite of this. You know, Prabhupada said, you take a photo of me embracing money and everything. So when we see such kind of opposing moods within a parampara, in acharyas giving different emphasis, it is a bit confusing. How do we pick up which one we should follow?
Yeah, it's described like even Rupa Goswami, the prince Rupa Goswami talked about Yukta Vairagya principle, but he himself stayed at actually very very simple place. I think basically the point is that for the service of Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, because he was trying to propagate the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so for that he definitely required a lot of wealth to propagate the mission. So he did not want any wealth for his personal sake, but he just wanted to actually utilize it for the service of the Lord. Like in one lecture I was hearing that Prabhupada was saying that some people were complaining that why is it that sannyasi is dealing with so much of money and wealth. So Prabhupada said that the duty of a devotee is to unite Krishna with, like Lakshmi with Narayan. So we are just basically trying to unite Lakshmi in the service of Narayan. But definitely from Varnashram point of view, that yeah, sannyasi is not supposed to deal with the money. But because I think at that time, he was in Prabhupada had to establish the movement, and then he had to build so many temples. He had to personally manage so many things, especially in India. He had to involve with so many finances. So many times he had to deal with money, etc. But definitely as a personal for personal comfort, I don't think Prabhupada wanted. So therefore, so in order to utilize this principle, one has to have a certain level of renunciation.
Yeah, that is implied actually. In both cases, whether one accepts opulence for Krishna service or one doesn't accept opulence, we can make it as a implied condition in both cases. Like Rupa Goswami says, one should not build huge temple projects. He says, and Prabhupada says, for Krishna's glorification, we build big temples now. Now, if we read Rupa Goswami's statement and the explanation given, the main reason that is said is the attention on bhajan gets diverted by money making and politics and women's involvement and then trying to impress the visitors because unless you impress visitors, they won't give money. So then we are not able to give the core Krishna consciousness to them. So because of all these things, Acharya says don't build temples. But Prabhupada says for preaching we build. And when Prabhupada was personally present, big temples actually were not a problem. Like if you see Juhu, two big towers and everything and all. When Prabhupada made, then Vrindavan. Now Mayapur has come up with a very huge temple. Adbhuta Mandir is coming up now. Whether we can digest the load of other forces which will come in such a project, whether we are spiritually so strong enough to take it, is actually a question mark. Big temple projects being big politics also, big problems also, and everything like that. It is absolutely acceptable that we do it all these things only for glorification of Krishna only. Like we say, don't take sannyas. Kalo pancha vivarjayet, And then we say, we give sannyas for what? For preaching sake. That also was a question for me. Why? Nowadays you go with this dress, or you go with sannyas dress with danda, people don't know any difference. People are so switched off in their minds. You sit next to a person, karmi person, you sit with the danda or without danda, makes no difference to people. Probably 500 years ago when Nimai Pandit took sannyas, in the Kulinagram we read the description. Thousands of people wanted to see him. Now when sannyasi comes also, how many will want to? Maybe some devotee community, devotees have some respect for a sannyasi. They say some sannyasi is coming, they may go, probably. But newcomers, many people are actually unaware of differences so much.
Yes.
And in such a case, how does sannyas become a very important addition? And in that case, I feel that it unnecessarily becomes a stumbling block in devotional service because it increases the mentality of having more prestige and so many complications. So I'm still not very clear about this. I'm still thinking, in case you have something to add again. One point you said now, that it is done only for Krishna's service. It's not done for personal enjoyment. That is absolutely understood and accepted. None of our acharyas will want to enjoy opulence for Krishna and poverty for oneself.
Yes.
That is understood. In those days, we say Goswami's built big temple for Lord, but they are not that big also. We see the Madan Mohan temple. It's not very difficult to manage temple. Probably the biggest is which one? Govind temple? Govind temple, Karan? Who? He built our Mansingh. Mansingh of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami's, this is a follower. He built it for Rupa Goswami. Yeah, correct. He built a temple.
I think the.
Compared to our ISKCON temples now, the kind of big size that is being made. Sometimes I wonder, is it within our reach to digest such huge projects, especially the one coming in Mayapur Dham. Very huge, it is. 500-600 crores. So my question is always this: if our goal is to go back to Godhead and do bhajan and to bring people under that, are big projects serving that purpose? I'm not very confident.
No, that is true. There are, I saw some other quotes of Prabhupada where Prabhupada is emphasizing that don't build actually such a big temples. Just concentrate on getting people, making people into devotees. And do not get, increase the burden of increasing big projects. He mentions that. But because I think the Adbhuta Mandir, it is the desire is planted from Nityananda Prabhu, so therefore Prabhupada is trying to wanted to actually carry out the desire of the Lord. There sometimes it is possible that sometimes people they just want to build temple just for the prestige sake. Oh, we also can do something big, and then it becomes a greater anxiety to maintain it actually. So I think unless the desire is coming from I think the superior Vaishnavas who can otherwise will not unnecessarily we should not get go into the anxiety of just building big temples which will actually which can become an impediment for preaching. Instead of we may become more focused on collecting money to maintain the temple than on actually making people into devotees.
So made the point between Mahaprabhu's strict dealing with Pratap Rudra versus Prabhupada's liberal dealing with donors and well-wishers to make them Krishna conscious. So I will be thankful in future sometimes if you can direct me to some section where I can learn more about resolving these contradictions.
Raghunatha Swami want to quit to join to Mahaprabhu. That time Mahaprabhu instructs Raghunatha Swami, you go, you having faith in your heart, you continue to be like behave like an ordinary man, and the time moment come, you will get a means to come to me, and that time Krishna will suggest that means to you. In that section, Prabhupada write in purports, and he went there and behaved like an ordinary person, like enjoying all materialist thing. So there Prabhupada writes, an experienced devotee knows, accept the things which are favorable in rendering Krishna consciousness. This statement comes like to the point to Raghunatha's Goswami again going back and doing all this material stuff. So that his father became happy. Yeah. This statement comes how you have to accept the things which are favorable to rendering service to Lord. In that sense, he enjoyed all these things, and again, his parents thought that he is normal now. He slacked down all the housekeepers, then he able to. And one more sentence comes, one who wants to come to back to Godhead, he has to accept the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and act patiently and intelligently. So there are two things comes in this.
Raghunatha's instruction, what Mahaprabhu gave him, not to suddenly renounce was very appropriate. And Mahaprabhu wanted to ensure about his strength of renunciation, after which he would allow him to be his follower. And in our parampara, there are grihasthas, then there are renunciates. And my main concern is about the circle of renunciates, brahmacharis and sannyasis. That's the main focus. For them, Prakritim Bhajasva, Bhagavatam says, but that is not for sannyasis and brahmacharis. Prakritim Bhajasva is for Priyavrat, who is going to accept Grihastha Ashram. Yeah. And they have to, because their renunciation should be internal. And externally, they should live like other people. Whereas for Brahmachari Sannyasi, our renunciation should be external and internal. Both. That is why I had this question. Of course, Prabhupada, we have no suspicion about Prabhupada. He is a very, very great soul. But a certain trend is set in our society which continues over a period of time. Yeah.
Only one thing which just comes to my mind is that sometimes certain things are done in the case of emergency. Sometimes sannyasi does the duties which is actually... which are not the duties of a sannyasi, dealing with money, etc. but so we can't but when the movement has grown, in the initial years during the time of creation, sometimes a person may have to do certain emergency duties. But so, but once that is settled down, I think we need not actually follow them. We have to just mainly concentrate on the normal duties. Maybe later the emergency may arise only very rarely, but otherwise we just have to focus on the normal duties. Maybe Prabhupada had to do it, I think, at the time of emergency, I think. Well, normally it is not the duty of a sannyasi to deal with money and with the donors, etc. And it has to be delegated to grahasthas. Because for a long-term sustenance, to the extent a person is situated in their role of service according to their position, according to the varna and ashram, and then serve Krishna in that manner. So that will be actually more conducive for the long-term maintenance, I think.
Question that Prabhuji asked, that when two acharyas, we can see, means opposing things happens, means two acharyas acted differently. So just to clarify, means I just thought that way, that once you were telling that when the avatars of Lord come, and but one should follow the recent avatar, Yuga avatar, what he taught us. So I just think, is it like that the recent acharya, how he acted, we should follow him? And
yeah, we try to follow the previous acharyas through our present founder acharya, Srila Prabhupada. We cannot jump over Prabhupada to follow the other acharyas. We have to always first give importance to the Srila Prabhupada's example, how he followed. Yeah, that's a definitely valid point. But still, the point was that in the case of emergency, a sannyasi had to deal with money, etc. But when that emergency is no longer there, when it can be delegated to others, and Prabhupada did not have many people, so therefore he had to he had to deal with money, etc. So, but now when it can be delegated to others, then if we still try to follow that example when there is no emergency, then it can actually result in some problem. So we'll go ahead. So Mahaprabhu went to the Mahaprabhu, after he glorified the Govardhan Hill by chanting this verse, Hantaya Madri Rabala Haridasa Varyu, then Mahaprabhu took bath in Govindakund, and then he heard that Gopalji deity is presently there in Gantuli Gram. So immediately Mahaprabhu went to the village of Gantuli Gram and took darshan of Gopalji and began to chant and dance. 37th verse. Gopalera saundarya deki prabhura avesha. Ei shloka padinache hailadina shesha.
As soon as the Lord saw the beauty of the Gopal deity, he was immediately overwhelmed by ecstatic love and he recited the following verse. He then chanted and danced until the day ended.
So Chaitanya, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes three verses about glorifying Govindakund from Bhakti Ratnakar and from Stavavali and from Mathura Kanda of, I think, maybe Padma Purana or something. All these three verses which are quoted in the purport, they tell the position of Govindakund, how by Govindakund is the place where when Indra coronated Krishna by performing an abhishek and then gave him the title Govinda. So that abhishek water of Krishna, that formed a kund called as Govindakund. That's what these three verses describe. So the Mahaprabhu chanted a particular verse. This is from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where I think when Rupa Goswami describes the 64 qualities of Krishna, when he describes one quality related to Krishna's power, or I'm not sure. So Rupa Goswami quotes a verse, Mahaprabhu chants this particular verse, the 38th verse. Vamastamara sakshasya bhujadandasa patuvaha krida kandukatam yena nito govardhano girihi.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, may the left arm of Sri Krishna, whose eyes are like the petals of the lotus flower, always protect you. With his left arm, he raised Govardhan Hill as if it were a toy.
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted this verse and then took darshan of Gopalji for the next 3 days. On the fourth day, Gopalji returned to his temple on the top of Govardhan Hill. And Mahaprabhu also was walking behind the Gopalji deity, and he was chanting Hari Hari. And the Gopalji returned to his temple, but Mahaprabhu stayed back at the bottom of the hill, and he was very much satisfied by the darshan of Gopalji's deity. 42nd verse. Eimata Gopalera Karuna Swabhava Yei Bhakta Janera Dekite Hoyabhava.
This is the way of Lord Gopal's kind behavior to his devotees. Seeing this, the devotees were overwhelmed by ecstatic love.
So Mahaprabhu, he didn't want to go to take darshan of Gopalji deity, but Gopalji reciprocated with the eagerness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in on a Sunday face class, Maharaj just emphasized this point, how he quoted this verse, Yeta Mam Prapadyante Tam Sataiva Bhajamyaham. Because Mahaprabhu was very eager to take darshan of Gopalji, Gopalji also became very eager to take darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he came down in order to give darshan and also take darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Kaviraj Goswami, so in the next few verses, Kaviraj Goswami also tells another instance where Gopalji came down from the top of Govardhan Hill in order to give darshan to Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Of course, this instance took place much later, after the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, they were like a very old, especially Sanatan Goswami's name is not mentioned. Sanatan Goswami is also mentioned, but especially when Rupa Goswami was very old, when he could not actually go there. So at that time, Gopalji again reciprocated the desire of Rupa Goswami, and he came down. At that time also there was a rumor that some Muslim soldiers are attacking. So Gopalji deity was brought down and stayed at the house of Vitaleshwar for one full month in Mathura. So that is described. When Gopalji was actually staying at the house of Vitaleshwar for one full month, many devotees went to take darshan of Gopalji along with Rupa Goswami. So Prabhupada, in the 47th verse purport, he gives a description of who is this Vitaleshwar. So Vallabha Bhatta, I think he'll come little later. Or it came already? No, it will come little later. Vallabha Bhatta, he had two sons, Gopinath, and the younger son is Vitaleshwar. Vitaleshwar had seven sons, Giridhar, Govinda, Balakrishna, Gokulesh, etc. And Vitaleshwar, Vallabha Bhatta, he wrote commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam, which is called as Sri Subodhini. Basically, Vallabhacharya's commentary. So Vitaleshwar completed a part of the whatever was left over. He completed the purport on Srimad Bhagavatam, and he also wrote other books. So Vallabha, in this way, Vitaleshwar is a great devotee of the Lord. And Rupa Goswami, when he was very old, he stayed at the house of Vitaleshwar and took darshan there. And in the 48th to 53rd verse, Kaviraj Goswami describes a list of devotees who also went along with Rupa Goswami to take darshan of Gopalji. So Rupa Goswami was accompanied by Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Dasa Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and Lokanath Das Goswami. Because many other names are also mentioned. But because the 49th verse, Kaviraj Goswami describes Lokanath Goswami, Prabhupada just gives a brief history of who is Lokanath Goswami, brief introduction to Lokanath Goswami. So Lokanath Goswami is a personal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him to actually go to Vrindavan. I think this comes in Bhakti Ratnakar. Told him to go to Vrindavan. For Lokanath Goswami, when he came to know the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Vrindavan, when he was actually coming to Vrindavan, then after reaching Vrindavan, he heard that Mahaprabhu had left Vrindavan. And then Mahaprabhu was going to Jagannath Puri, and then he was going after Mahaprabhu. Initially Lokanath Goswami thought that Mahaprabhu is coming to Vrindavan, but he came to know that Mahaprabhu did not come to Vrindavan, he has gone to Jagannath Puri. And then he went to Jagannath Puri, and then he heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left Jagannath Puri for South India Yatra. And then he was going to all the places in South India Yatra, and then he couldn't actually meet Mahaprabhu. And finally, I think he comes to Vrindavan. Something like this shows that how Lokanath Goswami was actually very much eager to take darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But here in this purport, so Prabhupada says that Lokanath Goswami belonged to a village called as Kanchanapada in the district of Jessore in Bengal. Presently it is in East Bangladesh. And he only established the temple of Gokulananda in Vrindavan Dham. Narottam Das Thakur is the only disciple of Lokanath Goswami. Although Lokanath Goswami is a very elevated devotee and is a dear associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his name does not come in the Chaitanya Charitamrita because Lokanath Goswami requested Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami not to mention his name. Kaviraj Goswami, before writing Chaitanya Charitamrita, he went and took blessings of all the Vaishnavas. But Lokanath Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami, they actually put a condition that our names should not come in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So therefore, Lokanath Goswami, being a humble Vaishnava, he actually made this. And the other devotees who also went with Rupa Goswami to take darshan of Gopalji are Bhugarbha Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Yadava Acharya, Govinda Goswami, Sri Uddhava Das, Madhava, Sri Gopal Das, Narayana Das, the great devotee Govinda, Vani Krishna Das, Pundarikaksha, Ishan, and Laghu Haridas. Prabhupada explains that this Laghu Haridas is different from the Chota Haridas. He says that at that time many people would be named as Haridas. One should not mistake him as Chota Haridas. One is a Haridas Thakur, somebody is called as Madhyama Haridas, somebody is called as Chota Haridas, somebody is called as Laghu Haridas. So one thing is that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and took darshan of Gopalji, that time Vitaleshwar was not even born. According to the records, Vitaleshwar was born in the year 1510. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Vrindavan in, I think, 1510. So maybe just before the birth, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited. And Vitaleshwar stayed from 1510 to 1585. Rupa Goswami, when he was very old, in his ripe old age, Like he stayed at the house of Vitaleshwar and took darshan of Gopalji. So in this way, with great jubilation, Rupa Goswami took darshan of Gopalji accompanied by all these devotees. So now 55th verse. Prastave kahilo Gopala Kripara Akyana. Tabe Mahaprabhu Gela Shri Kamyavana.
In the course of the story, I have given a description of Lord Gopal's mercy. After seeing Gopal deity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Sri Kamyavan.
So this description is it's not a chronology. It happened much later. But it is given in connection with Gopalji reciprocating with the desires of the devotees to give darshan. So Mahaprabhu went to Kamyavan. And after Kamyavan, Mahaprabhu traveled all over Vrindavan. And then Mahaprabhu came to Nandishwar or Nandagram. And in Nandagram, he took bath in Pavan Sarovar. And he climbed that hill where the Nandabhavan is there. Lord Shiva is situated as a hill. So when he climbed the hill, Mahaprabhu asked that, are there any deities on the top of the hill? The local villagers said that there are deities on this hill, but they are located within a cave. And then they described the deities. They said that there are a father and mother who are very well built, and they have a very beautiful child who is in a Tribhanga form. And when Mahaprabhu heard this, he became very happy. And then he, after excavating the cave, he took darshan of the three deities. And in this way, he offered obeisances to Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, and Sri Krishna. 63rd verse. Sabadina prema veshe nritya gita kaila. Taha hai te Mahaprabhu kadiravana aila.
Every day, the Lord chanted and danced in ecstatic love. Finally, he went to Kadirvan.
Nandagram, Nandabhavan. Same. So Mahaprabhu came to Kadiravan. There's not much description there. After Kadiravan, he came to Sheshashayi temple. Does anybody know where is it, Sheshashayi temple? Yeah, last time we had gone to one Sheshashayi temple. I don't know, the same place. Koshi, na? The same place. In Sheshashayi temple, Mahaprabhu, he took darshan of Lakshmi Devi and he chanted this last verse of Gopi Geet. I think Sheshashayi also, there is a pastime, some pastime connected to Ras Leela took place there. 65th verse. Yatte sujata charanam buruham staneshu. Bita shanai priyadadi mahikarkasheshu. Tenata vimatasitad vyatatena kim svet. Kurpa dibir brahmati dir bhavada yushamna.
O dearly beloved, your lotus feet are so soft that we place them gently on our breast, fearing that your feet will be hard. Our life rests only in you. Our minds, therefore, are filled with anxiety, and your tender feet might be wounded by pebbles as you roam about on the forest path.
then Mahaprabhu came to Bandirvan and then he crossed the Yamuna river and then he went to Badravan. So in Bandirvan, he visited a place called as Kela Tirtha. Kela Tirtha is the place where the cowherd boys would play with Krishna. So Bandirvan, there is a huge banyan tree and there is also the temple of Sridhama. Huh? Bandirvan only, na? There's a temple of Sridhama. I heard a description when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there, he came and danced before the deity of Sridhama, but it's not mentioned here. So then after Badravan, Mahaprabhu went to Srivan, Lohavan and Gokul Mahavan. In Gokul Mahavan, when Mahaprabhu saw the place of Damodar Leela, how the twin Yamalarjuna trees were actually delivered, he was actually moved by ecstatic love. And then after that, after visiting that place, Mahaprabhu returned to Mathura from Gokul Mahavan. And he stayed at the house of Sanodiya Brahmana. 70th verse. Lokera Sangata Deki Mathura Chadiya. Ekante Akrura Tirte Rahila Asiya.
Seeing a great crowd assembled at Mathura, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left and went to Akrura Tirtha. He remained there in a solitary place.
So by this time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has become so famous. When he stayed at the house of Sanodiya Brahmana in Mathura, a huge crowd of people came. He didn't want to be surrounded by the huge crowd of people and be adored by them. So therefore, he went to Akrura Tirtha. He thought that that would be a solitary place where he can actually perform his bhajan. And when he went there, from Akrura Tirtha, it is described that Mahaprabhu would go every day in the morning to some places and then he would again come in the noon for lunch at Akrura Tirtha. So that is described in the next several verses. So he went to Akrura Tirtha and remained there in a solitary place. The next day, Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan and took bath in the place where Krishna subdued Kaliya. And he also went to a place called as Praskandana. Does anybody know what is this place, Praskandan? Went to a place called as Praskandana. And then he visited the Dwadasha Aditya Tila, just near the Madan Mohan temple. And he went to the, one of the lakes. Is it connected with some pastime? Okay. And he went and took bath in the Keshi Ghat. And he also, Mahaprabhu came to the Rasasthali in Vrindavan, in Vamshibhat. So when he came to Rasasthali, he was moved by ecstatic love. And then he was actually rolling on the ground. So he sometimes would laugh, cry, dance and fall down. And then Mahaprabhu returned to Akrura Tirtha. In the evening he returned to Akrura Tirtha where he took his meal. 75th verse. Prata Vrindavane Kaila Chiragate Snana. Tentuli talate asi karila vishrama.
The next morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Vrindavan and took his bath at Chiraghat. He then went to Tentulitala, where he took rest.
So Chiraghat is the place where Krishna stole the cloths of the gopis. The Chiraghat is that place. And Mahaprabhu then he went to Tentuli Tala. Tentuli Tala is same as Imli Tala. So Mahaprabhu went there because he felt that because even in Akrura Tirtha many people would come and he was not able to perform his chanting of the holy names properly. So he went to Imli Tala and there he could actually perform the chanting without any disturbance. So there is a short description of the Tentuli Thala or Imli Thala, the 77 and 78th verse. In Tentuli Thala, a very cool breeze blew there, and Lord saw the beauty of Vrindavan and the water of the river Yamuna. And there is an old tamarind tree, and he would chant the holy name of the Lord. And at the noon time, he would return to Akrotirtha to take lunch. When Mahaprabhu came to Akrotirtha, large crowds of people, although Akrotirtha is in one sense, Akrotirtha is little away, but there are many villages from other places, they would come. Large crowds of people came there. Mahaprabhu could not peacefully chant the holy name. So therefore, he would go to Vrindavan and sit in a solitary place where he would chant the holy name. Now, 81st verse. Tritiye prahare loka payadarshana sabare upadeshakare namasankirtana.
In the afternoon, people were able to speak to him. The Lord told everyone of the importance of the chanting of the holy name.
So, although large crowds of people came to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu would basically speak to them and tell them, to induce them to chant the holy names. So, now there is another character who comes into the picture. So, there was a Vaishnava called as Krishna Das. He comes to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Imli Thal. This is Krishna Das, he belongs to a Kshatriya order. He actually comes from the Rajput sect of from Rajasthan. But he was a householder, belonged to the Kshatriya caste, and he came to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu was at Imli Thal. So he was very much astonished by the beauty and the ecstatic love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu asked, 85th verse, Prabhu kahe ke tumi kaha tomara gara Krishna dasa kahe mui grahasta pamara.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Krishna Das, who are you? Where is your home? Krishna Das replied, I am a most fallen householder.
So he said that my home is just on the other side of the Yamuna river. My desire is that I want to be a servant of a Vaishnava. And actually I had a dream, and according to the dream, I have come here in order to be with you. Then Mahaprabhu immediately embraces Krishna Das. By the embrace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna Das began to chant the holy name, and he became mad with love for Krishna. And then he also returned to, from Imli Thal, he returned along with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Akrura Tirtha, and Balabhadra Bhattacharya gave the remnants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's food to Krishna Das. So, 90th verse. Prata Prabhu Sange Aila Jala Patralana. Prabhu Sange Rahe Griha Sri Putra Chadiya.
The next morning, Krishna Das went with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Vrindavan and carried his water pot. Krishna Das thus left his wife, home, and children in order to remain with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
So, this is for some time, Krishna Das was always with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was actually, even when Mahaprabhu left Vrindavan, he was actually accompanying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go to Prayag. So, at this time, it was described that many people were actually, Mahaprabhu saw that many people going some other place, and those people were saying that Krishna has again manifest in Vrindavan Dham. And one day Mahaprabhu saw that large group of people were making a tumultuous sound and they were going somewhere. So 93rd verse. Prabhu Deki Karila Loka Charana Vandana. Prabhu kahe kaha haite karila agamana.
Upon seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the people offered respects at his lotus feet. The Lord then asked them, "Where are you all coming from?"
So this is an important section. There are some very important purports of Srila Prabhupada. So the people replied that Krishna has again manifested himself in Vrindavan and he is dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. And we are able to see the Kaliya and the Kaliya's bright jewels and Krishna dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, and we are going to see that. And when Mahaprabhu, when he heard this, he began to laugh. He then said, "Everything is correct. Sabha Satya Hoy." And it is described that for 3 consecutive nights, people went to Kaliya Dagh in order to see this dancing of Krishna over the hoods of Kaliya. And then after seeing that, they would return and then say that, "Now we have seen Krishna." 97th verse. Prabhu aage kahe loka Shri Krishna dekila Saraswati eva ke satya kahaila.
Everyone came before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, "Now we have directly seen Lord Krishna." Thus, by the mercy of the goddess of learning, they were made to speak the truth.
So they came in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then they said that, "We have seen Krishna." What they meant was that what they saw in that Kaliya the lake. So like Saraswati made them speak like that. They did not actually realize that the Krishna is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in front of him. So when the people saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they actually saw Krishna, but because they were following their own imperfect knowledge, they accepted the wrong thing as Krishna. 99th verse. Bhattacharya tabe kahe prabhura charane agya deha yai kari Krishna darashane.
At that time, Balabhadra Bhattacharya placed a request at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, "Please give me permission to go see Lord Krishna directly."
So here, the height of this thing is that the personal servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he is asking from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, "Please give me the permission so that I can go and take darshan of Krishna." The common people, that is saying one thing, but the personal servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's saying is something like astonishing. So Prabhupada has given a very instructive purport. This purport is very important. The essential point of this purport is that Prabhupada says that one should see through the eyes of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. And he says that when a person directly tries to see Krishna without trying to see the medium of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, or when a person tries to see Krishna through speculation, then the result is that one will consider an ordinary person as Krishna and Krishna as an ordinary person. So basically, when we hear from relative sources, instead of hearing from absolute sources, that is Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, so hearing from relative sources, that means these people, they were just hearing some rumors here and there, oh, Krishna is dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. Or they were actually directly trying to see Krishna, instead of actually trying to see Krishna through Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. That verse comes in Brahmaji's prayers, that Tvam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita Hrit Saroja Ase Shrutekshita Pato Nanunata Pumsam Yadyad Sadan. Especially that Ase Shrutekshita Shrute Ikshita. You have to see through the scriptures. guru, sadhu and shastra. But here they were trying to see through the relative sources. So then Prabhupada says, especially the last sentence, last two sentences, unless one is enlightened by the knowledge given by the spiritual master, he cannot see things as they are, even though he remains constantly with the spiritual master. So therefore, this incident at Kaliyadaha is very instructive for those eager to advance in Krishna consciousness. So this shows the importance of actually the instructions of the spiritual master. If we don't take advantage of the instructions of the spiritual master, one may physically be there with the spiritual master, but one will still be misled. The siksha given by the spiritual master, in one sense, more important than the personal association without siksha, without getting an opportunity to hear the siksha. So this is an important theme. Even I think Devahuti also made a similar statement to Kardama Muni, that she said that, what that verse? No, but she says that I actually did not take advantage of your association. I was solidly cheated by Maya. I just tried to take your association just for sense gratification. So like that, she says that. So basically, here Balabhadra Bhattacharya is a personal servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when he is asking that I want to go and see Krishna, that means we can see that, like another, just few verses later, Prabhupada, the next purport, Prabhupada says that this is the power of Maya, that even a learned personality like Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he became actually influenced by some foolish propaganda. So when Sarup Damodar Goswami talked about the qualities of Balabhadra Bhattacharya, one of the qualities he mentioned is that he is a very learned scholar. Susnigdha, Arya, Pandita, advanced in spiritual consciousness, he is a learned scholar and he has a great affection for you. So, 100th verse. Tabe tandra kahe prabhu chapada maria murkera vake murka hela pandita hana.
When Balabhadra Bhattacharya asked to see Krishna at Kaliyadaha, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mercifully slapped him, saying, "You are a learned scholar, but you have become a fool, being influenced by the statement of other fools."
So we see the Kala Krishna Das was actually influenced, became a victim of sense gratification, and Balabhadra Bhattacharya became a victim of speculation. So Mahaprabhu mercifully slapped him. Then Mahaprabhu says to Kala Krishna, the Balabhadra Bhattacharya, that actually, how can you say that scriptures do not mention that Krishna will appear in the age of Kali Yuga? These people who are saying is that they are foolish people and they are actually causing some rumor and they are causing agitation and making a tumult. So we see that these are all actually so much of wrong propaganda. So especially we see in Kali Yuga also, many wrong, Kali Yuga is filled with so many wrong propagandas. I was just reading an article written by Govind Prabhu. So he was mentioning that in regards to in Ramayana, he said that in Ramayana, actually it was very well known that Sita underwent the Agni Pariksha and Sita was proved that she was never contaminated being under the clutches of Ravan. And it was actually very well known, but still in Ayodhya, it was known to Ayodhya Vasis, but still in Ayodhya that somehow some rumor started like spreading that which actually about the character of Ram and Sita. So many people in Ayodhya, they started speaking about it. Although it was well known Sita underwent Agni Pariksha, but people became victim of that propaganda. So people became victim of the propaganda, and then that led to like actually Ram sending Sita to the ashram of Valmiki Muni, and they couldn't understand the connection between this propaganda and Lord Ram sending Sita to Valmiki Rishi's ashram. So many times in Kali Yuga, especially nowadays, there is so much of the newspapers, and they do so much of propaganda about so many wrong things which are against Dharma. And many innocent people, if they are not shrewd enough, they get carried away by the propaganda, and they get a wrong understanding, they get misled by those propaganda. So even Balabhadra Bhattacharya himself has actually misled. So Prabhupada explains here, so Mahaprabhu is saying that in Kali Yuga, the Lord will appear in the Channa avatar. So where in scripture it is mentioned that Kali Yuga, Lord will appear and he will actually in an open form, without in a covered form. So although Balabhadra Bhattacharya was personally serving Krishna in his role as a devotee, he mistook Krishna for an ordinary man and an ordinary man for Krishna because he did not follow the rules set down by the Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So therefore this shows actually the personal association is definitely important, personal serving. But especially if you are not, even if a person is personally serving the spiritual master or somebody, but if he is not hearing regularly, the person is not doing hearing and chanting regularly, so one may be, even the personal association, one can get actually affected by other opinions. It's like another classic example is that, Satrajit spread rumors about Krishna in Dwaraka. Yeah, that is another example. In Prabhupada's life also, Prabhupada's servant, he became more excited by the moon landing expedition. And when Prabhupada was actually saying that, this does not seem like a moon, this seems like a desert. A moon cannot be like a desert. But he could not actually accept the words of Prabhupada. And eventually, he left associated with Srila Prabhupada. So, 102nd verse. Vatula nahaila gare rakata vasiya Krishna darshana kariha kali ratriyana.
Do not become mad. Simply sit down here. And tomorrow night, you will go see Krishna.
So Mahaprabhu told him to wait. Tomorrow we'll go and see Krishna. And then next day morning, some people came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu asked them that, have you taken darshan of Krishna? And those people said, actually, in Kaliya, there was a boat, fisherman was actually, he was going on boat and he was actually fishing. And he would go in the night, and the boat of that fisherman, that appeared like the Kaliya, and he was having some light, lantern, and the people mistook the lantern to be the jewels and the hoods of Kaliya, and they mistook the fisherman to be Krishna, who is dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. So people made this mistake. So then 108th verse. Kintu kaho Krishna deke kaho Brahma mane. Stanu purushe yeche viparita gyane.
They are seeing Krishna. Is there a mistake? It is like considering a dry tree to be a person.
So here we see the tendency to commit mistakes. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Vrindavan, the inhabitants considered him an ordinary human being and they mistook the fisherman to be Krishna. This shows the human tendency to commit mistakes. This is basically because of falling victim to the hearing from speculative sources, some rumors. Then, next. I think before we go into the next section, would you like to add anything on this section?
Srila Prabhupada, in one of the Bhagavad Gita purports, Tadviti Pranipatana, he says, blind following and absurd inquiry, both are condemned, he says. So, here, from Balabhadra Bhattacharya's behavior, we see that there is a idle curiosity. This idle curiosity, in English, there's a saying, curiosity kills the cat. Similarly, for a sadhana bhakta, we need a one-pointed focus, like Gurumukha Padma Vakya, Chittete Koriyakya. So the substance on which we should focus is already coming in parampara, from Guru, Guru Sadhu Shastra. So you will find one amazing phenomenon in our parampara. Those who study the books left behind by the acharyas and those who perform devotional service, they develop behaviors like simplicity and purity and focus, fixity and all those things. But those who study too many books with the desire for cultivating scholarly knowledge alone, so that is actually condemned in the CC itself. There is one verse, Bahushastra, Bahuvakya, Chitta Brahmahai. Because that is due to curiosity. Idle curiosity to want to know too many things, then they get nowhere. They get lost. So there are two different types of curiosity. One is one curiosity to taste Maya, because we are tasting Krishna too much. Now let us have a little taste of Maya also, how Maya is. So that is also one type of curiosity. Another type of curiosity is intellectual curiosity, where we develop a desire to read some other books, especially adventure books or mystical books, or somebody did some miracles. So there was one brahmachari who read some astrology book and he got too interested, and then finally he came to see his own chart. After seeing it, he lost confidence in being a brahmachari, and then he got married because of that. It all started with one book. So one has to avoid this bad curiosity, which actually degrades one's Krishna consciousness. So here Balabhadra Bhattacharya is with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, assisting Mahaprabhu. And he saw with his own eyes, Mahaprabhu is making, you know, tiger and deer dance together, which is, he is able to awaken Krishna Prema from the hearts of even forest animals. Ferocious animals. Now we only have heard in CC, but he saw it with his own eyes. So what more evidence do you want for the person whom you are associating with? Sometimes we think, I am having some senior or superior guiding me. We want to be absolutely sure that he is perfect for me to follow. So he saw a perfect master. So what more evidence do you want? You can imagine, even after seeing a perfect master, one still has a curiosity for something else. That's why Mahaprabhu lovingly slapped him and told him not to go. So we all may have to slap our mind also lovingly and tell the mind to keep quiet and be focused and not develop unnecessary idle curiosity to read different things or go in different directions, because that actually diffuses our energy and focus, because of which then we will not be able to taste the sweetness of Krishna Prema very soon. And one-pointed concentration, Ekeha Kurunandana, Krishna says, no? Otherwise, Bahushaka Hyanantyasya Buddhayo Adyosaya. So the Vyavasahatmika Buddhi comes by avoiding unnecessary idle curiosity and be satisfied with what is being awarded in parampara. And that is actually not blind following, that is actually proper following, because our purpose is the students of Krishna Consciousness Movement are very busy in what? Prabhupada says, in one purport he says, in studying the books, studying the Krishna Consciousness textbooks and scrutinizingly studying them from various angles and appreciating Krishna through them rather than developing idle curiosity.
Thank you, Prabhu.
That Balavadra Acharya, although associating with Mahaprabhu, and himself he witnessed Mahaprabhu exhibiting all this, but he did like this. Actually, what could be cause? Like he has, he mistook, only Prabhupada read, he mistook. But what could be the reason for this?
All our teachers in Vidyapitam have seen the stand they have taken in explaining this type of questions is safest stand. We understand that my Lord's associates are all pure devotees. And when they do something and some lesson is being taught, it's for whom?
Us. Us.
So we take lessons. But we don't try to probe into their own character and doubt their character or doubt their advancement. Because later on you will see how much Mahaprabhu glorifies Balabhadra Bhattacharya as being a perfect servant, you know, and serving. He is very pleased with him also. So you will find in Chaitanya Leela, Damodar Pandit is apparently correcting Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu accepts the correction, but chastises him also. So we should not take the chastisement part very seriously, that he was disobedient to Mahaprabhu. One should not come to a wrong conclusion. Same with all these associates of Lord. If they didn't show such behavior, probably we won't have anything to learn. So when here I've heard from Gaurang Darshanapu also and other teachers also, that when there is some exalted personality showing some apparent erratic behavior, it is inspired by the Lord and taught for people like us, so that we may not fall prey to such habits. Yeah.
So we'll just take a short break. We'll continue. Huh?
So much time to return.
Maharashtra. 109th verse.
Prabhu kahe kaha paila Krishna darshana. Loka kahe sanyasi tumi jangama narayana.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then asked them, where have you seen Krishna directly? The people replied, you are a sannyasi, a renunciant. Therefore, you are a moving Narayan, Jangama Narayan.
So Mahaprabhu asked, where they have seen Krishna, they are saying that you are actually Narayan, Jangama Narayan. So Prabhupada's whole purpose is on this particular word, Jangam Narayan. So, in the Mayavad, according to Mayavad philosophy, they consider the sannyasi to be Narayan. They basically consider, their idea is that absolute truth is impersonal. And because it is impersonal, we can imagine any form, we can imagine impersonal Brahman in any form, as Vishnu or Shiva or Ganesh or Durga or Surya Dev and worship that form. But ultimately the absolute truth is impersonal. For convenience sake, we accept any of these five forms and through Panchopasana we actually try to attain the Brahman. And they feel, they believe that a sannyasi, when a person takes sannyas, he becomes Narayan. He is considered to be a moving Narayan. So therefore, foolish people accept such ordinary human beings as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called as Vivartavad. And Prabhupada quotes this particular verse, which actually is quoted by Mayavadis. Dandak grahana matrena naro narayano bhavet. Simply by accepting danda, a person becomes Narayan. But the real truth is that, the real truth about Narayan, which was also told by the leader of the Mayavad, that is Shankaracharya, is Narayana Paro Avyaktat. That is the real truth. But due to the poor fund of knowledge, Mayavadi sannyasis think that Narayan takes birth as a human being and that when he realizes this, he becomes Narayan again. They never consider why Narayan would accept an inferior position as a human being and thus again become Narayan when he is perfect. So, the people said that you have appeared in Vrindavan as an incarnation of Krishna and just by seeing you, everyone is now liberated. Mahaprabhu's response, 111th verse. Prabhu kahe Vishnu Vishnu ihana kahiba. Jivada me Krishna jnana kabuna kariba.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately exclaimed, Vishnu, Vishnu, do not call me the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A jiva cannot become Krishna at any time. Do not even say such a thing.
So Mahaprabhu is immediately saying that a living entity can never become the Supreme Lord. And he said, a sannyasi is also a part and parcel of Krishna. Sannyasi chit kshana jiva kirana kana sama. He is also a part and parcel of Krishna. And Krishna is like the sun, the living entity is only a fragment of the complete whole. 113th verse. Jiva Ishvara tattva kabuna he sama. Jvaladagni Rashi Eiche Sfulinge Rakana.
All living entity and the absolute personality of Godhead are never to be considered equal, just as a fragmental spark can never be considered the original flame.
So Mahaprabhu is actually refuting the Mayavad philosophy. So Prabhupada explains that the Grahastha disciples of the Mayavadi sannyasis, they generally consider the Mayavadi sannyasi to be Narayan. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately protested this unauthorized system, specifically mentioning that a
sannyasi is also a nothing but a part and parcel of Narayan and not Narayan himself. And there is another very beautiful point which is explained by Prabhupada in the purport. Generally, these Mayavadi sannyasis, they offer obeisances to other Mayavadi sannyasis, considering them as Narayan. But they would never enter the temple of Narayan and offer obeisances to the deity of Narayan because of their puffed up prestige. They are so puffed up that they do not even enter the temple of Narayan to offer respects because they think themselves as Narayan himself, although they may offer respects to other sannyasis and address them as Narayan. So you can see the like a falsity of this Mayavadi sannyasis. Yeah, next verse. There's a verse which is quoted from the Srimad, from the commentary of Sridhar Swami on Bhagavatam 1.7.6, 114th verse. Pladinya samvidashlishta sachitananda yeshwaraha svavidya samruto jiva sanklesha nikarakara.
The Supreme Personality of a Godhead, the Supreme Controller, is always full of transcendental bliss and is accompanied by the potencies known as Ladini and Sambit. The conditioned soul, however, is always covered by ignorance and embarrassed by the threefold miseries of life. Thus, he is a treasure house of all kinds of tribulations.
This verse actually clearly tells the difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Jiva. How the Jiva undergoes misery being covered by ignorance, but the Supreme Lord is actually filled with Satchitananda, is always filled with transcendental bliss. Yei muda kahe Jiva Ishvara haya sama Seita pashandi haya dandeta reyama.
Person who says that the Supreme Personality of a Godhead is the same as the living entity is an atheist, and he becomes subject to punishment by the superintendent of death, Yamraj.
So here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that one who considers the living entity to be Krishna is a Pashandi or an atheist. So in the purport, Prabhupada actually further expands on the term Pashandi, and he gives, I think, 7 or 8 definitions of Pashandi. The first definition he mentions is that one who considers the living entity to be equal to the Supreme Lord, he is a Pashandi. And second definition of Pashandi is that one who does not differentiate between spirit and matter. First is one who does not differentiate between Jiva and the Supreme Lord. Second is that one who does not differentiate between spirit and matter. One who does not believe in the spirit soul and therefore does not distinguish between spirit and matter, he is a Pashandi. And the third point is that about Pashandi is that those who commit this offense against the holy name of blaspheming the Vedic scriptures, Shruti, Shastra, Nindan, they are also called as Pashandi. And the fourth definition of Pashandi is that those people who worship the impersonalists like Dattatreya, they are also called Pashandis. And the fifth point about Pashandi is that those who are overly absorbed in me and mine, body and things related to the body. And for this fifth definition, from Jiva Goswami's Bhakti Sandarbha, a verse is quoted. Deva Dravinadi Nimittaka Pashanda Shabdenacha Dashabarada Yeva Lakshyante. I think the same verse was quoted one of the few chapters before in a purport. And the sixth definition of Pashandi is that those who equate the demigods with the Supreme Personality of God. Again, a verse from Bhakti Sandarbha is quoted. The seventh definition of a Pashandi is that one who disobeys the instructions of a spiritual master is called as Pashyandi. And finally, Prabhupada just says that on the whole, a Pashyandi is a non-devotee who does not accept the Vedic conclusions. Basically, the broad definition. Basically, seven definitions are given and then a conclusive statement. One who does not accept the Vedic conclusions is a Pashyandi. There are another verse which is quoted about a Pashyandi who equates Krishna with the demigods. We'll recite together. Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudradi Daivatai Samatvenaiva Vikshetha Sapashyandi Bhavedruvam.
A person who considers demigods like Brahma and Shiva to be on an equal level with Narayan is to be considered an offender or Pashyandi.
So Mahaprabhu is actually chastising them by saying that you cannot call me as the Supreme Lord. Those who consider the sannyasi to be equal to Narayan is a Pashyandi, because sannyasi is only part and parcel of Krishna. But now, from 117th verse to 126th verse, in 10 verses, now all the people, they glorify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Krishna, genuinely. Not in the sense of actually, oh, because he is a Mayavadi sannyasi, therefore he is Narayan. So now in the next 10 verses, all the people glorify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna genuinely. Loka kahe tomate kabu nahe jiva mati. Krishna rasa drisha tomara akriti prakriti.
After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the difference between an ordinary living being and the Supreme Personality of a Godhead, the people said, no one considers you an ordinary human being. You are like Krishna in every respect, in both bodily features and characteristics.
So they are actually saying that genuinely, because of the bodily features and characteristics and how Mahaprabhu was able to influence so many people, essentially, like, they examine the Swarupa Lakshan and Tatastha Lakshan and they come to the conclusion that you are none different from Krishna. So by your bodily features, we can see that you are none other than the son of Nanda Maharaj. Although your body, the blackish complexion has been covered by a golden luster of your body. And they say that just like musk deer cannot understand the aroma which is coming from him only. So similarly, you cannot be like, you are not able to understand your position. Your characteristics as the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be concealed by any means. No, actually the analogy is that, just like aroma of a musk deer cannot be concealed. So similarly, your characteristics as Krishna cannot be concealed by any means. Huh. And they explained that, because you have uncommon characteristics, simply by seeing you, the whole universe, the whole world becomes mad with ecstatic love for Krishna. And even people like women, children, shudras, when they even hear you chanting the holy name, they immediately become filled with love for Krishna. And they become like madmen. All these things show that you must be actually Krishna himself. Anybody who listens to your holy name is mad with ecstatic love. And in fact, even the dog eaters become the holy saints simply by hearing your holy name. So therefore, all these uncommon potencies, they say that actually all these uncommon potencies are only your marginal characteristics. And the one, of course, they quote this verse, how the dog eater becomes purified for that Devahuti is glorification of Kapila that is described. And then 126 verse, they say that actually all these characteristics are your Tatastha Lakshan, but your Swarupa Lakshan is that you are originally the son of Nanda Maharaj. So therefore we come to the conclusion you are non-different from Krishna. 127th verse. Sei sab loke prabhu prasada karila. Krishna preme matta loka nijagare gela.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then bestowed his causeless mercy upon all the people there, and everyone became ecstatic with the love of God. Finally, they all returned to their homes.
So, Mahaprabhu remained for some days in Akrura Tirtha and delivered everyone simply by distributing the holy name. So, Sanodiya Brahmana, like who is a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, he went and inspired other Brahmanas. And he inspired other Brahmanas to invite Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for lunch at their home. Or he inspired other Brahmanas to come and cook for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and feed him. So therefore, now by the inspiration of Sanodiya Brahmana, so many other Brahmanas started inviting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And every day Balabhadra Bhattacharya was getting 10 to 20 invitations per day. But he can accept only one invitation per day. He was rejecting all other invitations. Therefore, all these other invitations which were rejected, they would try to actually, through the contact of Sanodiya Brahmana, they would say that, oh, please, you try to arrange so that we can actually feed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Through the contact of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sanodiya Brahmana, they would actually approach. And Kaviraj Goswami describes that all these Brahmanas were actually from different places. Some are from Kanyakubja and from South India. I don't know how they were from South India, maybe somewhere there in Vrindavan. But all these Brahmanas were very strict followers of Vedic religion and were Mahaprabhu. But they offered invitation to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with a great humility. 134th verse. Pratakale akrura asi randana kariya. Prabhu re bhiksha dena shalagrame samarpiya.
In the morning, they would come to Akrura Tirtha and cook food. After offering it to the Shaligram Shila, they offered it to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
So Prabhupada explained there were two types of brahmanas, like one is Pancha Grauda Brahmanas and another is Pancha Dakshinatya Brahmanas. Pancha Gauda Brahmanas, they are brahmanas from North India and they come from five provinces: Kanyakubja, Saraswata, Mithila and Utkala and Gauda. And the Pancha Dakshinatya Brahmanas, they come from Andhra, Gujarat, Maharashtra, Karnataka and Dravida Desh. But the main point is that they strictly observe the Vedic principles and are not polluted by tantric misdeeds. And all these Brahmanas invited Mahaprabhu for lunch. Now when Mahaprabhu was staying at Akrura Tirtha, one day he had certain thoughts. Yes. I was also surprised. Gujarat and Maharashtra, they were also included. Maybe Tamil Nadu and Kerala are combined, I think. Also combined. So Mahaprabhu, one day he was there in Akrura Tirtha, and he was actually thinking that at this place in Akrura Tirtha, Akrura got darshan of Vaikuntha, and all the Vrajavasis, they got darshan of Golok Vrindavan. Which pastime? When Varuna Dev actually takes Nanda Maharaj, and then Krishna goes and rescues Nanda Maharaj. After that, Krishna actually, all the Vrajavasis, they actually take bath in that part of Akrutirtha, and they get darshan of Golok Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu was thinking about that, and with these thoughts, suddenly he jumped into Yamuna. And then he jumped into Yamuna, and he was under the water for some time. So 138th verse. Dekhi Krishna Dasa Kandi Fukara Karila Bhattacharya Shigra Asi Prabhu Revutaila.
When Krishnadasa saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was drowning, he cried and shouted very loudly. Balabhadra Bhattacharya immediately came and pulled the Lord out.
So Balabhadra Bhattacharya and Krishnadas somehow with, actually so many Krishnadas, one Chota Krishnadas, no, Kala Krishnadas and he is also Krishnadas. And here this another Krishnadas. So somehow with great difficulty they rescued Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was drowning. And then, so Balabhadra Bhattacharya and Sanodiya Brahmana, like they were actually speaking in a secluded place. So Balabhadra Bhattacharya is telling to Sanodiya Brahmana that I am finding very difficult to actually manage. Today Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was about to be drowned in the Yamuna River. And suppose if he goes some other place, if he starts to drown at Vrindavan, who will help him? And moreover, another problem is that now there are so many invitations are coming for prasadam. And it is causing so much of disturbance. And also he says that actually many times the Lord becomes ecstatic and he was in a highly ecstatic emotional state. And I find it very difficult to manage. I find the situation to be very unpleasant. The situations are not very good. It would be best that if we can take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu out of Vrindavan, that would be good. And that is my conclusion, like that Balabhadra Bhattacharya is telling to Sanodiya Brahmana. 143rd verse. Viprakahe prayage prabhulayayai Gangati repate yai tabesu kapai.
The Sanodiya Brahmana said, let us take him to Prayaga and go along the banks of the Ganges. It will be very pleasurable to go that way.
So they say that let us go to Prayaga through the banks of the Ganges, and before going to Prayaga, we will also visit a place called as Sorokshetra. Does anybody know what is this place, Sorokshetra? From Mathura, the closest place. Closest place from Mathura, which is on the banks of the Ganges. So then Sanodiya Brahmana says that when we go to Prayag, we will reach in the month of Magh, and it is a very nice opportunity. We can take part in the Magh Mela, and Mahaprabhu would get an opportunity to take bath in the Sangam, Triveni Sangam, during the Makara Sankranti. So Prabhupada gives a description of Magh Mela and Kumbh Mela. He says every year there is Magh Mela in Prayag, but once in 12 years there is a Kumbh Mela. And he explains that that generally, like when a person takes bath in Triveni Sangam during that time, then one gets the benefit of actually giving thousands of cows in charity to the Brahmanas. And he said generally the Karmis, Karmakanda people, they are enthusiastic to take bath like in Triveni Sangam with the purpose of getting accumulating pious credits. But those who are situated in devotional service do not very strictly follow this Karmakandiya process. So devotees go to Kumbh Mela only for the sake of preaching, because Prabhupada actually started that, for distributing prasadam to serve the pilgrims. The main purpose is preaching. And because when devotees take bath in the Triveni Sangam, I think one of the, remember when 2001, we had gone to Prayag Kumbh Mela. So Maharaj was saying at that time that when we go and take bath in the Triveni Sangam, we should, because when we take bath in Triveni Sangam, whatever desires we have, that will be fulfilled. So we should go with the desire of attaining pure devotional service and nothing else, like that he mentioned. So devotees, when they take bath, they basically desire for pure devotional service, and they go there mainly for the sake of preaching. So Prabhupada is clarifying that here.
Eager to go to Prayag and bathe. So that is, seems to be less noble approach. He says that in the Magh month, you know, hundreds and thousands of cows in charity, it's equal to that. Because of this, Sarandi Brahman was very eager to go. But he was a Madhantrapuri's disciple. He is supposed to be knowledgeable about these things, no? Being a Vaishnava. Sometimes amongst Vaishnavas, some Vaishnavas are very eager to identify special Purnimas and other dates and all, and do some extra austerities to make some advancement. Some Vaishnavas are very... Smartas are fanatical about it. But in Vaishnavas, some are like that, and some Vaishnavas are very broad. Like I heard our Muralidhar Prabhu, he did more than 25 houses, housewarming ceremony. In a traditional Vedic way. When he wanted to do for his house, he simply called devotees and did kirtan. You know? For his own house. In Bombay, they were saying. Muralidhar Prabhu in Bombay, they were saying. So, some Vaishnavas are fully confident that Vaishnava path is good enough. But here Prabhupada writes it.
Real protection is chanting. Then 146th verse. Apanara dukkha kichu kari nivedana. Makara panchasi prayage kariha suchana.
The Sanodhya Brahmana continued. Kindly submit to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the unhappiness you are feeling within yourself. Then propose that we all go to Prayag on the full moon day of the month of Magh.
And then they say that, tell the Lord of the happiness you will feel in travelling via the bank of the Ganges. Then Balabhadra Bhattacharya is actually putting forward this petition. Sahite na pari ami lokera gadabadi. Nimantrana lagi loka kare huda hudi.
Balabhadra Bhattacharya told the Lord, I can no longer tolerate the disturbance of the crowd. People are coming one after another to offer invitations.
Pratakale aise loka tomare na paya. Tomare na paya loka mora mata kaya.
Early in the morning people come here and not seeing you present, they simply tax my brain.
So actually, they say, the many personal servants of spiritual master, they are. Such experiences. So it's quite a difficult thing to be a personal servant of the spiritual master. Like every service has its own challenges and difficulties. And the same way personal servant or spiritual master also has lot of difficulties, in the sense they had to they will get so many invitations from so many people, and he had to say no to many people, and at the same time he had to get a chastisement from others. They feel that this person is responsible, he is not allowing me to meet Maharaj, like that. They will actually they'll put the blame on the personal servant or the secretary. So Balabhadra Bhattacharya also had the same difficulty. And he says that actually my mind is very much agitated and I cannot bear this anxiety. So now everything rests on the permission of your lordship and I will accept whatever you want to do. So this is any service which involves personal service to some spiritual master or the devotees, there are challenges in the sense. Any personal service involves many spontaneity and change of schedule, and it requires a certain type of actually psychophysical nature also to do those services. Like somebody who is used to doing services at a particular scheduled time, you will find it like very difficult to do personal services which involves like lot of spontaneity and there is no fixed schedule. So Balabhadra Bhattacharya is definitely facing this anxiety, and then he says that now everything rests on the permission of your lordship and I will accept whatever you want to do. But we can see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's consciousness, that is what such a beautiful thing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after such a long time, he had a desire to come to Vrindavan since so many years. Finally he came to Vrindavan, and but now we can see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he is actually putting himself, he is taking a submissive mood under Balabhadra Bhattacharya. It's 152nd verse. यद्यपि वृंदावन त्यागे नहि प्रभु रमण भक्तई च पुरिते कहे मधुर वचन.
Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had no desire to leave Vrindavan, he began to speak sweet words just to fulfill the desire of his devotee.
So Mahaprabhu had absolutely no desire to leave Vrindavan, but just to please Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he actually is going to leave Vrindavan. So previously also he had so much of desire to come to Vrindavan, but without the consent of the devotees he would not actually come to Vrindavan. So one constant theme, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example is our example for how one should be a devotee. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example, we can see one constant. Gaurang Prabhu explained this past time in our Brahmachari class. So he said that we can see that mood of submission to the devotees, that we can see constantly in Mahaprabhu's mood. 153rd verse. Tumi amai ani dekaila vrindavana eirina aminariba karite shodana.
Mahaprabhu said, you have brought me here to show me Vrindavan. I am very much indebted to you and I shall not be able to repay this debt.
Yeto mara icha ami seita kariba. Yahalaya yaha tumi tahani yaiba.
Whatever you desire, I must do. Wherever you take me, I shall go.
Mahaprabhu is completely agreeing to Balabhadra Bhattacharya. Next day he got up early and took a bath, and he became filled with ecstatic love because he knew that he has to leave Vrindavan that day. And then Balabhadra Bhattacharya gave a proposal, let us go to Gokul Mahavan and then we will leave Vrindavan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu crossed the river and they went to Gokul Mahavan. And Rajput, Krishnadas and Sanodiya Brahmana, they also went with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it is described, I think one of the verses. Yeah, Mahaprabhu, his mind was filled with ecstatic love, knowing that he had to leave Vrindavan, but he did not exhibit those ecstatic symptoms now. Because he would have to that may give pain to the his associates who are actually taking him out of Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu, when they were walking, when he understood that the other devotees are tired, and they took rest beneath a tree and sat down there, and some cows were grazing there, and the Lord was very pleased to see them, and the cowherd boy started actually blowing the flute. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately was filled with ecstatic love and he became unconscious. And foam was coming out of his mouth and his breathing stopped. So when he was lying unconscious at that time, some Muslim soldiers, Patan soldiers came there. And when the Patan soldiers saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lying unconscious, they were thinking that this sannyasi was carrying lot of gold, and these four associates, they fed the sannyasi some poison and they took away the gold from the sannyasi. Therefore, the soldiers, this was the thoughts of the soldiers about the four assistants of Mahaprabhu. The four assistants were, who are the four assistants? Sanodiya Brahmana, Rajput Krishnadas, one more Brahmana, these four. These were the thoughts about these people. But when they were about to actually, this Patan soldiers, they wanted to arrest these four persons. So at that time, because Rajput Krishnadas is Rajput, he is actually speaks very fearlessly. 168th verse. Viprakahe patan tomara patsara dohai chala tumi ami sikdara pashayai.
The Brahmana said, you Patan soldiers are all under the protection of your king. Let us go to your commander and get his decision.
Actually, the Brahmana was saying, the Krishnadas, he speaks from 177, third verse. The Brahmana is saying that actually the sannyasi is my spiritual master. I am actually from Mathura. And I know many people who are also serving the Muslim king. I have many contacts there. And actually the sannyasi, he falls down, becomes unconscious. He has a certain disease. And after some time, he'll get up. And you just wait for some time. You'll see that after some time, the sannyasi will get up. And he'll regain consciousness. He'll become a normal person. And then you can ask the sannyasi directly that, about all we four of us. Do not actually come to a conclusion. 172nd verse. Patan kahe tumi paschima matura dui jana gaudiyata ka e kanpe dui jana.
The Patan soldiers said, you are all rogues. One of you belongs to the western lands and one of the district of Mathura. And the other two who are trembling belong to the Bengal.
So they are having their own actually speculation. Because Rajput is from Rajasthan, from western district. And they are saying this, all four of you, because you are coming from different places, you have a particular plan. So then Rajput Krishnadas, he speaks very fearlessly. And he says that, actually I have my home here. And I have 200 Turkish soldiers under me. If I just shout from here, all these soldiers will immediately come and they will kill all of you. And these Bengali pilgrims are not actually rogue, they are actually pilgrims, and please, you want to kill the pilgrims and plunder them. So the Pathan soldiers became hesitant. So at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regained consciousness. 177th verse. Hunkara kariya ute bale hari hari. Prema veshe nritya kare urdva bahu kari.
Coming to his senses, the Lord very loudly began chanting the holy name, Hari, Hari.
Hari.
The Lord raised his arms upwards and began to dance in ecstatic love.
The Muslim soldiers, when they heard this, they felt that their hearts were struck by thunderbolt. And then they became fearful and immediately released the four persons. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually came to his normal senses. Balabhadra Bhattacharya made Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sit down. And the Muslim soldiers worshipped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then they told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so here are the four rogues, and these people, they have fed you poison, dhatur, and they have stolen your property. So Mahaprabhu said, actually, they are not rogues. They are my associates. Actually, I am a sannyasi. I don't possess anything. And sometimes because of epilepsy, I become unconscious. And you are actually mistaking this to be that they have fed me poison. Uh-huh. So then it is just, then the next section from 185th verse, it describes that one among the Muslim soldiers who was wearing a black dress, he starts arguing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that Muslim soldier was... He was a saintly among the other Muslim soldiers. And he starts arguing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about the form of the absolute truth as being impersonal. 186th verse. Chitta ardra haila tandra prabhu re dekiya. Nirvishesha brahmastape shvashastra utana.
The heart of that saintly person softened upon seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to talk to him and establish impersonal Brahman on the basis of his own scripture, the Quran.
So this person was arguing that actually the absolute truth is impersonal. Mahaprabhu actually refutes his argument. From 189th verse till the, I think, 196th verse. Mahaprabhu actually refutes this argument. So Mahaprabhu quotes from Quran. So Mahaprabhu says, actually, Quran definitely establishes impersonalism, but after establishing impersonalism, the Quran actually refutes impersonalism and establishes the personal form of God. And then Mahaprabhu says that actually, ultimately, Quran accepts that there is only one God, and that God is having a blackish complexion. So Prabhupada explains that within the Muslims, there is a certain sect called as Sufis. They believe that the God is impersonal. And these Sufis are derived from Shankaracharya's impersonalism. Sufi Samradaya is certainly derived from Shankaracharya's impersonalism. And Mahaprabhu quotes various other points from Quran. According to the Quran, Lord has a blissful, transcendental body. He is the absolute truth, the all-pervading, omniscient and eternal being. And he is the origin of everything. And he is the origin of creation, maintenance and destruction. And he is the shelter of everyone. He is worshipable by everyone. He is the cause of all causes. And by engaging in his transcendental service, the living entity is relieved from material existence. 194th verse. Tandra seva vina jivera nayaya samsara. Tahara charana priti purushartha sara.
Okay.
So Mahaprabhu says that the ultimate conclusion of Quran, ultimate goal of Quran is to develop love for the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, actually in the Muslims, they say that one should perform 5 times namaz. Mahaprabhu pointed out that, and he says because 5 times one is supposed to offer namaz, that shows that the ultimate goal is actually to develop love for the Lord. Although karma yoga and jnana yoga are certainly described in Quran, but ultimately the Quran states that the ultimate goal is the offering prayers to the Supreme Person. And then he says that actually the happiness obtained from liberation is insignificant in comparison to the happiness from love for the Supreme Lord or service to the Supreme Lord. So in Quran there are descriptions of fruitive activities, speculative knowledge, mystic power and union with the Supreme Lord. But ultimately all these goals are refuted and developing love for the Lord is actually established as the highest thing. 197th verse. Tomara pandita sabara nahi shastra jnana Purva para vidhi madhi para balavana.
The scholars of the Quran are not very advanced in knowledge. Although there are many methods prescribed, they do not know that the ultimate conclusion should be considered the most powerful.
So one thing we see that the final conclusion, general principle, final conclusion in which comes at the end of the scripture, like that is the most important. There is Jiva Goswami mentions in Tattva Sandarbha, or I think Krishna Sandarbha, when the first canto, when the incarnations of the Lord are described, Sutta Goswami describes the different incarnations. So Krishna and Balram are included among the incarnations, and then he speaks this Ete Chamsha Kalapam, so Krishna is the Bhagavan Swayam. So one may wonder that which statement to accept, which says that Krishna is mentioned as the Supreme Personality of Godhead or Krishna as an incarnation. Then he quotes a rule, a grammatical rule, which says that the later statement carries more weightage than the earlier statement. Just like suppose somebody about the spiritual master says, please get some hot milk. After half an hour. And then after 5 minutes he says that, no, I don't want hot milk, just give some warm water. And after 5 minutes he says that, no, just give me normal water. You will take more, will put more weightage to the last thing which he said. So similarly, same logic, Mahaprabhu is saying that the scholars of Quran are not very advanced because although there are many methods prescribed, that the ultimate conclusion is developing love for the Lord, that should be considered more powerful. That should be considered the most powerful. And that they actually, they don't agree. So 198th verse. Nija Shastra Deki Tumi Vichara Kariya Kiliki Yache Sheshe Kaha Nirnaya Kariya.
Seeing your own Quran and deliberating over what is written there, what is your conclusion?
Nlecha Kahe Yehi Kaha Sei Satyahaya Shastra Iliki Yache Keha Laite Na Paraya.
The saintly Muslim replied, all that you have said is true. This has certainly been written in the Quran, but our scholars can neither understand nor accept it.
Of course, we remember the Mahaprabhu is speaking to Chand Ghazi. There it is clearly mentioned, there are faults in the scriptures of the Malaychas, in the Quran. But here Mahaprabhu is just trying to use the same scriptures of Quran to show that the personality of Godhead is ultimate goal, is superior to the impersonal form. The ultimate goal is love for the Lord. Huh. So that's why there is nothing more explained here. And then when Mahaprabhu asked this, the Muslim actually admitted. Muslim said that usually these scholars describe the Lord's impersonal aspect, but they hardly know that the Lord's personal feature is worshipable. So therefore they are undoubtedly lacking this knowledge. So the saintly Muslim admitted that those who are supposedly conversant in the teachings of the Quran could not ultimately understand the essence of the Quran. And then he says that because you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, please be merciful upon this fallen soul. 202nd verse. Aneka dekinu mui mlecha shastra haite sadhya sadhana vastu nari nirdharite.
I have studied the Muslim scriptures very extensively, but from it, I cannot conclusively decide what the ultimate goal of life is or how I can approach it.
So he actually submits himself to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he is requesting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please tell me the sadhya and sadhana. And then finally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is inducing him to chant the holy names. He's saying that actually since I saw you, that I have started chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and my false prestige is now gone. And Mahaprabhu requested him to chant the holy name and he said that because you are already chanting the holy names, all your sins of millions of lifetimes are now gone and you have become pure. And then he said that the 206th verse, Krishna kaha Krishna kaha kaila upadesha sabe Krishna kahe sabara haila prema vesha.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told all the Muslims there, chant the holy names of Krishna, chant the holy names of Krishna. As they all began to chant, they were overwhelmed with ecstatic love.
So Mahaprabhu initiated this particular saintly Muslim as Ramadas. And also initiated another Muslim as Bijuli Khan. Bijuli Khan. Because Bijuli Khan was the son of the king, was named as Bijuli Khan. Bijuli Khan. Why he kept the name Khan? No,
Bijuli Khan, any
Bijuli means what?
Lightning.
Huh? Bijuli? Acha. Yeah, maybe he just. Another Pathan Muslim present there was named Bijuli Khan. Okay. Yeah, it's not his initiator name. Okay. I'm sorry. It's named Bijuli Khan. Mahaprabhu actually initiated both of them. So Prabhupada tells the importance of changing names at the time of initiation. And he says that many Mayavadi gurus are called as Jagat Guru, but they have not seen even the Jagat. Although they hardly visited the whole world, but still they are known as Jagat Guru. But these people, these Mayavadi gurus and other caste conscious Brahmanas, they make accusations against ISKCON that how can you give initiation to the Malechas and Yavanas? But Prabhupada says that we are simply following in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are not spoiling the Hindu system of religion, but are simply following in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by traveling all over the world and accepting those who are interested in understanding Krishna as Krishnadas or Ramdas. And the, by the process of bona fide initiation, their names are changed. So Vijuli Khan also fell down to the Lord of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Lord placed his foot on his head. So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed his mercy on the Patan soldiers, and these people became known as Patan Vaishnavas. They became Patan mendicants, Patan Vaishnavas. So it is described that 212th verse. Sei Vijuli Kana Haila Mahabhagavata Sarvatirte Haila Tandra Parama Mahatva.
Vijuli Khan became a greatly advanced devotee, and his importance was celebrated at every holy place of pilgrimage.
Something interesting, Vijuli Khan. Aiche Leela Kare Prabhu Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pashchime Asiya Kaila Yavanadi Danya.
In this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes. Coming to the western part of India, he bestowed good fortune upon the Yavanas and Mlechas.
So Yavanas are basically those who are meat eaters, and Mlechas are those who do not follow the Vedic principles. So Prabhupada explains that even if suppose somebody is born in a Brahmin family, a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra family, but if they do not follow the Vedic injunction, they are called as actually Mlechas. If they eat meat, they are called as like Yavanas. So it does not refer to a people of a particular caste or something. So then Mahaprabhu went to a holy place of pilgrimage called as Shoro Kshetra. And after taking bath in Ganges, then he started for Prayag along the banks of the Ganges. You will see that the same, this will come later, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whatever path he followed, Sanatan Goswami would also go by the same path along the banks of the Ganges.
It is not like that, means not sure that actually in Prabhupada translated that he was named as Vijuli Khan, but originally it says that
he was not named as Vijuli Khan. His name was Vijuli Khan only.
His name was Vijuli Khan, so it's not like the initiated name was Vijuli Khan.
Another Patan Muslim present there was named Vijuli Khan.
Because in commentary also this says like this, and when this was translated by Bhaktiyar Maharaj translator, he put that his name was Bijuli Khan.
His name was Bijuli Khan.
It's not like they have to put his name as Bijuli Khan.
Yeah, that's how I think this meaning also is. His previous name was Bijuli Khan, and his initiator name is not given. So then, when they went to Soro Kshetra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Sanodiya Brahmana and Rajput Krishnadas to actually return to Mathura, and to wherever their places. But both of them, they pleaded to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they said that you are going to a place where there are many Muslims will be there. And moreover, Balabhadra Bhattacharya does not speak the local language, although he is a learned scholar. So therefore, these Muslims can create disturbance for you. So we want to come with you to serve you. And also we cannot actually tolerate separation from you. In this way, they gave different reasons. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the proposal, and they continued to accompany him. 219th verse. Yei jana prabhura paila darshana sei preme mataha kare krishna sankirtana.
Whoever got to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would feel himself overwhelmed with ecstatic love and would begin to chant the Hare Krishna mantra.
So whoever met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became a Vaishnava, and whoever met that particular person, he became a Vaishnava. And it is described that according to certain people, Mahaprabhu on the way from Vrindavan to Prayag, he also visited Kurukshetra. That is why in Kurukshetra there is a temple of Bhadrak, near the temple of Bhadrakali, there is a deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So some people say that Mahaprabhu also visited Kurukshetra. Prabhupada just mentions in the purport. In this way, Mahaprabhu inundated the South India and the North India with love of Godhead. And then he arrived at Prayag. In Prayag, he stayed for 10 days and every day he would take bath in the Triveni Sangam during the festival of Makara Sankranti. And then Kaviraj Goswami gives the concluding verses by saying that actually Mahaprabhu's visit to Vrindavan and his activities there are so unlimited, even Lord Sesha with his thousands of mouths cannot describe them. I have just given a small indication of all these activities. 225th verse. Alaukika Leela Prabhura Alaukika Riti Shunile Bhagyahiner Nahaya Pratiti.
The pastimes and the methods of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are uncommon. Unfortunate is he who cannot believe even after hearing all these things.
Adyopanta Chaitanya Leela Alaukika Jana Shraddha Kari Shuna Iha Satya Kari Mana.
From beginning to the end, the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are uncommon. Just hear them with faith and accept them as true and correct.
Yei Tarka Kare Iha Sei Murka Raja Apanara Munde Se Apani Pade Vaja.
Whoever argues about this is a great fool. He intentionally and personally brings a thunderbolt down upon his head.
It's a very strong statement. Essentially, Kaviraj Goswami is pleading that just hear these pastimes with great faith and do not argue. And the most unfortunate person is that one who, despite hearing these pastimes, he does not believe in them. So fortunate, unfortunate, and most unfortunate. Unfortunate people are those who do not come in contact with Krishna consciousness. Fortunate are those who come in contact with devotees. Most unfortunate are, even after getting an opportunity to hear, still they do not actually believe. The most unfortunate. Chaitanya Charitra Yei Amritera Sindhu Jagat Anande Basa Yara Eka Bindu.
The pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are an ocean of nectar. Even a drop of this ocean can inundate the whole world with transcendental bliss.
Shri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Yara Asha Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Dasa.
Praying at the lotus feet of Shri Rupa and Shri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Shri Chaitanya Charitamrit following in their footsteps.
So that's a beautiful chapter. Would you like to add any more points? So tomorrow we'll begin Rupa Siksha. The next two, 19 chapters Rupa Siksha, and then 20th, 21st, 22nd, the instruction to Sanatana Goswami, like that is 20th to I think 24th, five chapters, 20th to 24th, instruction to Sanatan Goswami, there is a. So, we'll stop here. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.